We've begun this series, Letting Go, Trusting Jesus with Our Deepest Desires. And this week we turn to the need and the desire for security, the need to feel secure in life. And as we will say and have said about all of these core longings, is that we are meant to have them met first and foremost by God, and then by others who also are in the Lord. And we see how in the garden, Adam and Eve had all of these core longings met in their relationship with the Lord and one another. But it's kind of like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz saying, we're not in Kansas anymore. When we look at the world and we look at the lives around us, it's kind of like we're not in the garden anymore. In the midst of a broken world, where are we turning to find this need for security, to have this need met? Like so many times before this week, as I'm working on the sermon, I came in Friday morning to prepare for Helen's funeral, and I opened up my email, and I had one of these daily devotions from Henry Nouwen, and like's happened so many times, it addressed this issue. And so I want to read it to you, because this really begins to get at the heart of what we're trying to talk about this morning. He says, what is the basis of our security? When we start thinking about that question, we may give many answers. Success, money, friends, property, popularity, family, connections, insurance, and so on. We may not always think that any of these form the basis of our security, but our actions or feelings may tell us otherwise. When we start losing our money, losing our friends, losing our popularity, our anxiety often reveals how deeply our sense of security is rooted in these things. A spiritual life is a life in which our security is based not in any created things, good as they may be, but in God, who is everlasting love. We probably will never be completely free from our attachment to the temporal world, but if we want to live in that world in a truly free way, we'd better not belong to it. You cannot be the slave both of God and of money. He begins to get into this issue of security. We know that there's verses like this flooded through scriptures, like the one in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of others lays a snare, but the one who trusts in the Lord is secure. We know that we're to turn to God to find that security, to meet that need. But when things become difficult, in the middle of trying times, as things are taken away from us, the anxieties often rise, and we begin to feel alone. As I was thinking about this, I thought about a couple examples in my life, especially growing up as a child, that I remember having this need of security kind of taken away a little bit. I grew up, a lot of you know this, if you get on 42 South, drive for a little over 2 hours and you'll come to my hometown, South Charleston, Ohio. Population about 1,400 people. It's not even real, it's a village, a small village. And in most of my childhood, I grew up in the country outside of the village. And if you stay on 42 for about 30 more miles, you come to Xenia. And what is Xenia most well known for? The tornado. And so I grew up as a child hearing all about the Xenia tornado, how pieces of property from Xenia were found as far north as Cleveland, Ohio, from that storm. And then I heard about a couple other tornadoes that happened just down the road from the house that we were living in, where people saw cows and tractors flying through the sky. And one night in the middle of the night, I heard this sound, and our parents got us up. And I remember sitting in the living room. Why we weren't in the basement is beyond me. I didn't even realize what was going on. all I knew is something sounded like a train. And I remember my dad looking out the window and looking up at the sky. It turns out a tornado had gone over our house, but not touched down. And I remember that night just feeling very scared, because the connections were starting to happen in my brain, these stories I'd heard about, the devastation from these tornadoes that had gone through the area before. And now, in the middle of the night, everything's dark, lightning's flashing, and it sounds like a train's about to barrel through our house. I remember another night where, as probably a third or fourth grader, I was always like the water boy for the football team, high school football team. And I remember being at a game, and it was at Shawnee High School, kind of in the Springfield area. And sometime during that game, a murmur started going through the crowd that somehow made it down to the sidelines, that a murder had just taken place 10 miles down the road. This was in Pidgeon, Ohio, which is a little village that my grandparents' family founded that probably has a population of about 50. There's a church, there used to be a corner general store with pizza, and a gas station, and a little volunteer fire department, and that's the intersection known as Pidgeon. Things like that didn't happen where I grew up. And so as a third or fourth grader, all of a sudden, I just started having this sense of, I'm not safe. I'm not secure. And I remember looking through the crowd to see if my parents were there. I remember the bus ride home. And in that part of Ohio, in that time of the year, you're either on the interstate or you're on a country road that has 10-foot corn on each side of it. And I remember being on the bus on the ride from that school back to the high school, looking out the window at all these cornfields, wondering, is that guy out there? And just having this weird sense of fear. Similar is the feeling I had when 9/11 happened. Much older. Many of you could probably tell us how you felt when Pearl Harbor took place. These events that happen, some at a grand scale, some within our home, that when they happen, cause our sense of security to be shaken. Calamity strikes. Security is threatened. And in a broken world where these things happen, where are we turning to meet this desire? The world and we as part of the world have come up with our solutions. Our institutions, the government, even institutions in our community like the hospital and the university. The sense of security is threatened a little bit when we feel like things aren't quite as going as well over there as they should be, and what that may mean to a city like Ashland. We put a lot of security in those types of things, in our bank accounts, our IRAs, our homes, our possessions, our national defense. When something like 9/11 happens, how quickly it becomes, let's blow them up before they do it again. That sense of feeling insecure. So we turn to those who we think have the capacity to protect us. We turn to one another, the people in our lives, the relationships. We go looking for that security to be found in someone else. The struggle with this is that any one of these things can be taken away at any moment. That which we have can be taken. And even when we think about the big questions of life, ultimately at our death, how many of these things are going to be there for us? In my estimation, that would be zero. And so where do we turn to have this sense of security met in our lives? We're going to reflect a little bit on the story of Ruth. I don't want to read that whole story to you, so I'm going to show you just a 3-minute video that kind of summarizes the story out of which the verses were read for you this morning. In a time in the world where the patriarchal system made it very difficult for women to have any security without a male in their lives. Naomi loses husband and two sons, leaving her and her daughters-in-law without anyone to care for them. The verses that we read this morning, maybe you heard this in each of those sections. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you in the house of your husband. Naomi says to her daughters-in-law, go, so that you can find security. In the midst of these deaths, this calamity, Naomi begins to feel, I'm not secure, and neither are you. Again, in chapter 3, verse 5, this is after she and Ruth are back in Bethlehem, and Ruth is beginning to glean from the fields of Boaz. She says, my daughter, I need to seek some security for you, so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman, Boaz. Not unlike us, Naomi and Ruth, in the middle of a difficult circumstance, begin to question their sense of security. This need that is within each of us begins to rise up within them, that sends them on this journey, ultimately looking to find this security. We can relate to Naomi. We can relate to Ruth in this. Their sense of security is put in jeopardy, is being tested. In a conflict that often wells up within us, we see being played out in them. See, we often know things about God. We say things like, God is sovereign. God will never give you more than you could handle, which personally I believe is a lie. I believe God oftentimes allows you to experience more than you can handle so that we're forced to rely upon God. But we say these things that we know. God is my foundation. I put my trust in the Lord. Everything will be okay. But oftentimes, that which we know in our mind and that which we speak with our mouth is very much in conflict with that which we feel within. That which we feel on the inside. We may say God is faithful, but we feel like God has abandoned us. What did Naomi say? Because the hand of the Lord has turned against me. She felt as though God had turned his back, had removed God's blessings, had brought this calamity upon her. She felt like she should no longer even be called Naomi. Call me Mara, because I left with much, yet I return empty. She feels afraid. She feels anxious. She feels vulnerable. She feels the things that we often feel when these things that we've placed our security in begin to be taken away from us and removed from our lives. Now, it seems as though Naomi and Ruth are turning to things of the world. What do? They head back to Bethlehem because they hear that the famine's over, that there's food there now. And so she goes back looking for people, specifically, once Ruth goes along with her, looking for a man so that she can find the sense of security for Ruth and ultimately for herself. Now, I would say that this is a messy kind of faith, but if we understand the idea of the kinsman redeemer that we see a few times in the Old Testament, we understand that yes, Naomi is looking to find the security in other people, but she's also trusting and putting faith in the plan that God has put together in order to find that. You see, in that period of history, if someone lost a son, like Naomi did, then it would be the responsibility of another son to marry the widow. And they would be called the kinsman redeemer. They step in and they care for that person. They bring them into their home. They make them their wife. And the children then maintain the name. The family line goes on. And for Israel, this was the way to provide for the widows. But in Naomi's case, of them died. And so when they go back to Bethlehem and then they begin gleaning in the fields and they see Boaz, they look upon Boaz and they realize he's a kinsman. He could redeem us. And he does. Marries Ruth, brings her into the family. They have a child, and that child keeps the name of Ruth's first husband. And so the lineage and the line continues. God places a plan to provide that security, and does it through the birth of this child. Both Ruth and now Naomi know that they will be cared for, know that they will be secure. And what I liked about that video, it was at the very end, how it makes that connection between Ruth and the lineage of Jesus. You see her name in Matthew at the beginning of the gospel, going through the lineage. And that the child is the one who brings the security in the book of Ruth points us to our reality, that for us, Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. Jesus is the one who comes as a child to meet our deepest desire and need for security, and gives us an invitation as those who will remain a part of a broken world, as those who will have this sense of security tested, taken away from us. He invites us to come and find that sense of security in Him. To have that deep need and desire met in Jesus Christ. And we see that in a lot of ways. And for those of you who come and join us Wednesday night, we'll begin to dive into those. But just think about John 15 and that invitation from Jesus to abide in Him. He comes and He says, "Abide in Me, and I will abide in you. We will dwell together. You will find your security in Me when you come and remain in Me." He promises He'll never leave us and forsake us. He promises us, even as He physically leaves at the ascension, that He will be present with us always through the power of the Holy Spirit that's coming. He even told the disciples when they started having that sense of security taken from them as He began to talk about His death, He said, "Don't worry, I go to prepare a place. We will all dwell together again." Even takes our minds to Psalm 23, that psalm that gives us comfort, that reminds us that we can dwell in the house of the Lord our whole lives long when we come and find that sense of security in the Lord. And so how do we respond? In a world where these things that we often place our security in begin to be taken from us, when the anxieties begin to rise, how do we respond? Well, as you know, each week you're going to be given the opportunity to spend time in prayer, asking the Lord, "Lord, what is it that I'm placing my security in instead of You?" And to go into this process between today and next Sunday, where in this period of Lent, we seek to release, to let go, to give up these things of the world in which we place our need for security, so that God can meet us in that place and we can begin to find our security in the Lord. I can't tell you what those things are. I think a lot of us share a lot of them. And so I could guess. But what I can invite you to do is to spend significant time with the Lord this week, in the hours to come, in the days to come. And this is how I would invite you to do that. Each of you, potentially, were given a Lego when you came in this morning. And don't worry if you didn't get one. There's plenty in the back. And actually, after I invite you into this exercise, you may decide, I need a bigger one, or I need 12 of them. And so feel free to pick some up or exchange them on your way out. They're in a basket in the narthex. But I want this Lego to begin to represent for us as a building block the things of the world in which we place our security. And so you can kind of begin this process this morning, and if you do this, hold on to it, because there's something about holding on to it that if you pick it up again later this week, that'll make the connections in your mind. But at some point, and I would encourage you to do this early in the week, maybe even this evening or this afternoon, I want you to just hold on to this Lego and invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of this process. And then enter into a time of prayer where you ask the Lord, through the power of the Spirit, to reveal to you the things in this world that you're placing your security instead of Jesus. And as those things come to mind, I would invite you to take a little Sharpie and just write words on this Lego of the things that come to mind. It may be my house. It may be my finances, or my job, or my spouse. It may be things that even as you sit here, you know are obvious. And yet, the Spirit also has a way, when we enter into a time of prayer like this, of revealing things into our mind that we're like, oh, ooh, I hadn't thought about that one. This is an exercise and a prayer you can do multiple times this week. But each time you do it, I invite you to just write those words on the Lego. And then, after you feel like you have a pretty good list of these, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the one thing that God's asking you to let go of. The one thing out of this list of many that I'm placing my security in that the Lord desires me to let go, to give over, so that Jesus can come and meet that need in a greater way in my heart. Now, for those of you joining us at Oasis on Wednesday night, I'm going to invite you to bring your Lego with you on Wednesday night. For those of you who are not coming on Wednesday night, I would like to invite you to bring your Lego back to worship with you next Sunday. And together we will let go of and release these things to the Lord that are of the world in which we are placing our desire for security instead of Jesus. And I invite you to begin that process now. Let's take a few moments to just, in prayerfulness and with an attitude of reflection, just begin to ask the Lord to reveal these things to our hearts and our minds. Let's pray.